This is Mind, Body, Soul. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Summers, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul. I'm here with my co-host and producer, Claudette Barnes. And my guest today is a coach and mediator. She owns GDP Consulting Incorporated and works with clients face-to-face or via technological means such as Skype or telephone. She has an executive certificate in conflict management, is a qualified mediator and a naturopath. She works mainly in the area of conflict resolution coaching, personal coaching, and leadership coaching. Welcome, Dr. Brenda Kelleher-Flight.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
When we talked about coming on the show, and I really love the title of your show, and you sent me this information, and I'll read this out first, and then we can get into your topic. We all strive to live up to the images others have of us, what various forms of media tell us we should look like, and what we believe is expected of us in order to be accepted and loved. Your interview is titled, Being Imperfect is Beautiful. So, Brenda, what can listeners expect to hear from you today?
One of the things I've learned, Gary, over the years working with clients is that everybody's beautiful, but we learn that from our parents, from our teachers, from our leaders, from our ministers, and so on, that we're not necessarily beautiful, that there's someone smarter than us, more beautiful than us, or more handsome than us, and we begin to feel that we're less than. And that's not true. We're all imperfect. And when we begin to realize that I'm imperfect, but so are you, then we begin to forgive ourselves, accept ourselves, and we begin to like other people, and we begin to see their imperfections, but they aren't irritants. And as we begin to accept other people, they begin to accept us. And life becomes free. We don't have to wear the perfect clothes or have the perfect hairdo or have the perfect house or drive the most modern car. We don't have to do those things. We can just be ourselves.
And part of that could be we are looking outward, whether that's for approval, whether we want people to think well of us. Like, what is that? Is it our upbringing? Because, you talk to some people who say, well, my mother or my father did the job on me. What is the root cause? Is it from what people have told us and then we tend to accept it as true and then we kind of beat ourselves up?
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. When we're born as beautiful human beings. We don't develop language around age of two. And prior to that, when people tell us, like, just shut up and go away, like, stop crying, go to your room, be seen and not heard, we shy into ourselves and we develop shame. And we should talk a little bit about shame and guilt, maybe, because you're bringing up that topic. Because when I feel guilty about something external to me. I feel guilty I ate too much chocolate over Christmas, which is true, by the way. And when I feel shame, I'm wrong. I'm bad. I'm no good. And when I'm no good, then I begin to measure myself based on what's outside of me. I begin to measure myself against that TV star, the person who lives next door to me. So my measurement, because I don't feel good about myself, I have to find, well, what should I look like? What should I feel like? What should I sound like? And I have no other way to go than to find that somewhere else. In coaching, what we learn is we don't need to go anywhere else.
We're fine just the way we are.
You are fine.
We don't need to change.
Absolutely not. We don't need to change. And when we begin to accept our imperfections and that we begin to understand that your father or mother could not have yelled at you unless they were feeling bad themselves, that feeling bad has nothing to do with you. So we begin to put that energy back to the person to whom it belongs. I often get my clients to do this exercise. For example, I have here a nice glass of water that Claudette gave me.
You're welcome.
Nice and cold, by the way. And I say to my clients, okay, I have this glass, and in here there's either water or I've put a colorless, odorless Jivex in here. And I'm going to give this to you, Gary. Would you drink it, please? But I'm not going to tell you what's in it. Would you drink it?
No.
Absolutely not. But as a child, we don't know that. And if an adult gives us something, we assume it's good for us. We take it. We drink all of it. We assume it's coming with their blessings. When we stop drinking, though, if it's Jivex and negative, we begin to feel very bad. we become sick inside. We're unhappy. We feel deflated. We feel as if we're less than somebody else. But we have no way of coping because our brain is not fully grown till our mid to late 20s.
We tend to believe everything that people say to us because we haven't developed that cognition that says, well, you know, maybe there's another way, viewpoint. Maybe there's another way of looking at those things.
Well, we accept things as truths. Let me give you an example. I grew up in Newfoundland. So therefore, my belief system is based on the schools I went to, the people I associated with, Girl Guides, my church, all those other things. So my frame of reference is based on what I have been told.
Your experiences.
If I had been raised in Saudi Arabia, would I have that same belief system?
Sure, absolutely, totally different.
Totally different. Therefore, we have to realize that the things that are playing in our heads are not truths, they're beliefs. And based on that, we have to step back now when our brain is fully grown and say, I have that belief. I have a belief that I should go to school, go to post-secondary, get married, have kids, and die. Okay, so that's my belief system. Is that true? Or is that a belief system? And if it's a belief system and it's not a truth, then I can step back from it and say, what's true for me?
Because beliefs are choices.
Are choices.
And people don't realize that. That if you don't like a belief about yourself, change it.
Thoughts are things. Let's do a little exercise for your listeners. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's just, for the three of us here, repeat to ourselves 10 times, I am a horrible person and nobody likes me. You will find, as you say that, you cannot stop your body from folding inwards, your face becoming serious, and your eyes looking downward.
Because your mind and your body are connected.
And your mind is ruled by everything you think. Therefore, you have to decide, does your mind rule you or do you rule your mind?
Absolutely.
If I told you to think, okay, for 10 times, I'm beautiful. Everybody likes me. They want to be with me. They enjoy my company. You'll find that your body will move upwards, your shoulders will move back, and your eyes will come parallel or look upward.
I read a book, David Hawkins wrote it, I think, called Power versus Force, and he talked about muscle testing and how if you hold a belief in your mind that you're a horrible person, you can tend to go weak. But if you hold a belief in your mind that you're the opposite, then you'll go strong. I remember I was in the store a while ago, and this kid was probably 10 or 11 years old, and he was carrying two-liter bottles of Pepsi. And he was struggling with it. I guess his mother told him to bring this to the checkout. And he dropped one of them. And his mother looked at him and said, you know, you can't even carry a two-liter bottle of Pepsi. And I just thought to myself, boy, she's doing some wonders for his self-esteem. Brenda, great conversation. We'll be right back after the break with Dr. Brenda Kelleher-Flight.
Mind, body, soul. We'll be right back. This is Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Well, we're back with Mind, Body, Soul with special in-studio guest along with Gary Summers, Brenda Kelleher-Flight. And she's talking about how being imperfect is beautiful. And I know that you've got so much great background as a coach, Brenda. Why do you think it's necessary to own our story? And how do we do that without being trapped in it?
Sometimes, Claudette, what happens is that we just live life every day. Life is based on what's happening today. We don't step back and say, what's going on in my head? Who do I believe I am? Who do other people want me to be? Who do I want to be? When am I content inside? And if we don't own our own story, we can get trapped. And I'll give you three or four examples to explain that. Anne Murray was told, you can't sing. Go home and do something else. If she had known her own story, which is I can sing, we would never have that beautiful singer from Nova Scotia. Oprah Winfrey was told, look, lady, you're too emotional. Like, you just can't be an interviewer. So she left her job. She would not own her own station now. She would not be renowned throughout the world if she had known in her heart and soul, I am a good interviewer. I can do this. Walt Disney was told, you don't have a creative bone in your body.
Oh, my. Can you imagine a world without Disney? I can't.
Exactly. Nobody can. Nobody can. So I believe, and I've always held, what Whoopi Goldberg's mother said to her. And Whoopi Goldberg's mother said to her, if you can ignore what other people say about you, you can be anything you want in this world.
Wow, that is powerful. How many people are told that at a young age?
Well, I heard a story, too, about they studied bees. And aerodynamically, bees are not supposed to be able to fly. Like, they're not supposed to be able to fly because the way their wingspan is, the way the body is so compressed and everything. So the question was, is how come bees can fly if really they can't? And the answer is simple, because no one told them they couldn't.
Exactly, Gary. And you're right on point. So to answer your question, when you own your own story, you can begin to step back and say, well, what's triggering me to react negatively in this situation? What belief am I holding? And maybe that belief's not serving me anymore. There's an old guy that once told me, adulthood is a time of overcoming the traumas of childhood. So you'll learn that to say, okay, that trigger is coming from my childhood. I was told this in my childhood. And what happens is we develop automatic tapes in our heads. Let me give you an example, Claudette. You drove to VOCM this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you drove here, you probably had to think about it. Where am I going? Where is it? Where do I turn? You know, you become very careful. You can probably drive here now without even knowing how you got here. Would that be true?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm on autopilot on my holidays, and sometimes I do drive here when I'm not supposed to be here.
There you go. So 99% of the things we do in life happen through that autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is those old patterns come up. They come up so fast that we can't stop them unless we know that what's triggering them in the beginning.
It's a routine that we need to break sometimes?
Definitely. It's a new learning. And a lot of my clients will say, I can't learn it. And I think it's like driving a car or riding a bike. The first time, you're going to fall off. The second time, you take a couple of pedals. The third time, someone holds you still, but you're pedaling. And then gradually, before you know it, you're riding the bike and you're doing wheelies. Those habits are the same. Be prepared to fall, but be prepared to ride, because you can.
I remember I spent some time in sales, and I was reading a book on this great salesperson, and he said he would get 1 in 10 sales calls would be a yes, I'm going to buy this from you. So he said the way he would get past the 9 other ones that people told him no was every time someone told him no, he'd say, well, I'm closer to another sale. So he would look at that failure as a learning experience to think that, well, okay, I'm not there now, but I will get there if I just keep going. So if people can only learn to look at life as a learning experience and not define themselves by their failures or to define themselves by what they do, We can change the beliefs we have about ourselves.
And you're making a fabulous point, Gary, because failure is what we need to do, because we learn through failure.
Some of the greatest lessons I've learned in life was from some of the biggest things that I did that I was able to reach through, grab onto mm-hmm. something positive, and get me through that terrible time.
If you look at the word mistake, I always say that's two words, mistake. So it's like a movie director. When a movie director makes a film, he or she will take 3 or 4 endings before they decide which ending they're actually going to put on that movie. That you could say, well, that's a waste of money. They're paying actors, and that's a waste. Well, mistakes are never a waste. We do the 3 or 4, and then we learn the take we want. So it's rather than making the mistake a mistake, we do the mistake. We step back. What's the lesson? Next time I'll do it this way.
Does ego get in the way?
I think fear gets in the way. I think fear of failure, mm-hmm. fear of being wrong, fear of being judged. And our whole topic today is understand we're imperfect. We are going to make those mistakes.
Because you'll hear people talking about somebody and they have a perfect life and they've got the perfect family. And we talked earlier about it, and no one is perfect. I mean, maybe on the outside, and how difficult is it to try and hold that perfect persona that you want everybody to think that you live the ideal life? That must be very troubling for people.
One of the things that I do in my coaching practice, we talk about emotions being on a scale. So sadness and happiness is the same emotion on a scale, like black, white, night, day, everything's on a scale. So I don't want people to be addicted to being happy. Neither do I want them to be addicted to being sad and the victim and all poor me. Because when you're addicted to being happy, you get the new car, when the shine wears off, then I want the new TV, and the shine wears off, then I want new clothes, the shine wears off, now I want a new house. So what we want are people to come to the center, to be upright, to be content, just to be content. And sometimes you can feel sad, that's okay, and sometimes I'll feel happy and great, that's good.
It's unrealistic to expect to be happy 100% of the time, as it is to be unrealistic to be sad 100% of the time.
They're emotions. It's not the emotion that's the issue. It's what we do with the emotion that causes problems in our life. Anger is an emotion. There's absolutely nothing wrong with anger. I'm really upset about something. I'm angry. If I do nothing with that emotion, but if I yell at you or put you down or I'm sarcastic or I belittle you in front of other people, that's a problem. It's never the emotion. It's our inability to be in touch with our emotions and say, okay, here's what I'm feeling. What can I do about this to problem solve and achieve the outcome that I want today?
Brenda, tell me about your book, Time to Forgive and Forget.
I was doing a project with another lady, and it was on time. What is time? And in my belief system, I don't believe there's such a thing as time. I really think it's a man-made construct. Because sometimes for me, time can pass really fast. And sometimes it's so slow. Oh, yeah. My, it's terrible. So I couldn't do it. So I woke up one night and I said, I thought of this story in my head. So I wrote this book about being in a spa in Thailand. And I get so many emails. Were you really in this spa in Thailand? Well, for your listeners, no. But if you want to send me a ticket, I'll go. So I set myself in a silent retreat in Thailand. And I thought it would be like in here in Newfoundland, where I would go to a spa and be in a private room and have all these great therapists doing all this great work on me. But in this spa, you were in a room with many other people. So I was listening to their conversations. And their conversations were reflective of things I felt myself, and things that I've heard from my clients. So one of the stories was about being alone in a crowd, was this lady telling her friend about how she hated going out to parties and how she felt alone and she couldn't make contact with other people. And I thought, when I woke up, I thought, okay, I can write that, and then I can offer tools how to overcome that. So for people who can't access a coach, people who can't access a therapist if they have mental health issues, they could read the book and use the tools independently. So then I wrote that and I put that aside. And then the next story that came to me was a person telling her friend about being betrayed. And how many of our listeners have been hurt by other people?
Absolutely.
So I thought, okay, when you're betrayed, how do you handle that? What are the tools for dealing with that? Then feeling helpless. How many of your listeners are out there like, I'm stuck in this job, I'm stuck in this relationship, I'm stuck with these bills, and they're feeling helpless to move forward? Well, there are tools to do with that. And the big one that I deal with in my practice a lot is being haunted by the past, which you've alluded to, Gary.
Absolutely.
The past coming forward. And what do I do? There are tools to deal with those things. I teach them every day. It's what I spend my life doing. And they're in the book.
Great conversation, Brenda. We'll be right back after the break with some more wonderful insight from Dr. Brenda Kelleher-Flight.
Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers. We'll be right back. This is Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Welcome back to Mind, Body, Soul. I'm Gary Summers, and I'm here with my co-host, Claudette Behrens, and we've been speaking to Dr. Brenda Kelleher-Flight about her title of Being Imperfect is Beautiful. Brenda, what is the trap we can face if we spend our time searching for happiness rather than searching for peace?
Well, I think what happens sometimes is that we find ourselves being attached to things that aren't real. So I feel, well, if my partner leaves me, I'll die. Or I become attached to something. I must live in this house. I must drive this car. I must have this job with this title. And what happens is I'm searching for this elusive version of happiness that's been defined by magazines and TV shows. I was watching a TV show recently, and the person watching with me said, oh, I'd love to have her life. I said, yeah, but she's been divorced four times, and she's broke. You know, But the movies show this person having the perfect life. So we become attached to something that isn't real. And that, to me, is a real trap. I think we buy stories. And one of the things I think we talked about earlier is that I get people say to me all the time, oh, my friend has this perfect life. Just look at her Facebook page. Look at this beautiful meal she had. Look at this beautiful holiday. I said, yeah, but that was 1 minute of 24 hours. What was the other 23 hours like?
People tend to post their best.
Absolutely.
For Facebook and through filters.
Through filters.
Yeah.
And so that's a trap in believing those things that are artificial. You know, the person who got up to do public speaking, why can't I do it like that? And I remember the story of Jerry Seinfeld, the first time he went on, I think it was Ed Sullivan's show, and he had, I can't remember, 7 or 8 months, and he had 2 minutes. And he said, I practiced an hour a day for 7 or 8 months for that 2 minutes because I needed to succeed. So sometimes we think things come easy to other people, and if you think of yourself, Gary, or yourself, Claudette, you have spent years honing your skills to be where you are.
We want that instant gratification, which tends to be a problem, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, Gary, you got to do all the stuff that you do, and you just learned that, I mean, overnight, didn't you?
Yeah, I think people want that quick fix, that, you know, you can take that pill that'll help me to lose 30 or 40 pounds or do this and do this, and then all of a sudden, bang, I snap my fingers and my life is better. It's really about repetition, isn't it? Because if you practice a flawed golf swing a million times, you're going to become perfect at a flawed golf swing.
Absolutely.
So you have to do it perfectly or as well as you know how to do it to move ahead in life.
Absolutely, and you have to know what it is you want. Because if I spend my life believing that both of you have something that I don't have, then my envy and jealousy is going to lead my story. Mm. It's going to determine what I do.
Because if you live a life wanting, well, that means you don't already have it.
Exactly.
And if you don't already have it, then that creates a problem internally for you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think the greatest question I ask my clients is, when is enough enough? Mm-hmm. So I ask your listeners, when is enough enough? If you have 1,000, figurines in your house, do you need the next one? Is it a want or a need?
People confuse that, don't they?
Absolutely. And they get stuck on the wants. I want something. And we know that adults buy based on want and they justify it intellectually. But it's always a want. We buy the car we don't need. You know, we see the next thing on it. We think, oh, gosh, I'd like seat warmers. Gosh, I'd like a hand warmer. Gosh, I'd like... And companies trick us into thinking we need it.
Well, they prey upon the things that we perceive that we're lacking. Yes.
Yeah. So if we lack, we then compare ourselves to other people, other things, and we want to... And we trap ourselves into believing that your standard has to be my standard. Maybe you need to take 4 holidays a year.
Absolutely.
And maybe I'm quite happy sitting in my backyard reading a book. We do not have to set our standards based on other people because they're doing it to satisfy themselves, to make themselves feel good internally. Well, be imperfect. You don't need the 4 holidays.
So it really is all about asking the most important question is, what do I want? Because some people, when I ask people what do they want, they'll always tell me what they don't want. Mm. I don't want this car, I don't want this house, I don't want this job, I don't want to live here. Mm. So when you're worried about and thinking about all the things you don't want, that's not really getting you anywhere, is it?
It's not. And if you think of it, one of the questions I always ask is, who are you? If I took away and I said, okay, Claudette, you're not an announcer, you don't work at VOCM, you have no relationships outside yourself, who are you? Gary, if you aren't a hypnotist, if you aren't a therapist, and I took away your spouse, I took away all those things, who are you? Most of us don't know who we are. If you don't know who you are, how can you know what you want?
Or you think you're the person that someone told you you were.
Exactly.
You believe the labels.
You believe the labels. You know, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. You know, I can't figure skate, I can't whatever it is. Those are just imperfections. If you accept your beauty and you find your strengths and build on those strengths and move from those, nudge from those strengths to other things, you can't gallop there. We can only nudge ourselves bit by bit.
So that's the way to healing, is what you're saying.
The way to healing is to accept who we are. Every person listening to this show is, I know, I'm 100% confident is absolutely beautiful. They have developed habits that are not so nice because of what they're told or the way they've been treated. So once you love yourself in the now, not what I'm going to be 6 years down the road, but in the now, love your imperfections.
Brenda, great conversation. What do you want listeners to take away today?
I want listeners to know that I want them to like themselves. I want them to accept their imperfections and remember that we're mirrors of each other. What you see in me are things you like about yourself. Things you dislike about me are the things you dislike about yourself, and they're the things that need to be healed. But we will be healing until the day we die. Life is a journey.
And I always say to people, you know, treat yourself the same way you treat someone you love, and you'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Brenda, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, with GDP Consulting, some people remember it by gross domestic product. Some people remember, that's true. And some people say George David Peter. They must have George David Peters in their lives. So gdpconsulting.ca, or they can phone me at 753-9935, and I'm on email, just info@gdpconsulting.ca.
Brenda, thanks very much for taking the time out of your day to come and enlighten myself and Claudette, as well as all of our listeners, with your knowledge, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
That's it for this week, everybody. We'll be back next week with another wonderful guest with some great information for you.
If you have a question or comment for Gary Summers, email mindbodysoul@vocm.com. This has been Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.